This is the Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California. This is the second interview with Bernice Leung, taking place on January 15, 1981, in Chinatown. And this is tape two. Bernice, last time you mentioned that when you first came to L.A., you stayed with a sister who was living here at the time.
My first trip to Los Angeles was that I came down here and I worked for an herbalist. Then I went back to Fresno, then I came back again, possibly in 1940, and then I lived with my sister on 31st Street near USC.
Uh-huh. What's your sister's name?
Gladys Quan, Q-U-A-N.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And when did she come and what was she doing here?
Oh, she got married in early age. That's why she was here. And her husband worked for a recording studio at the time known as C.P. McGregor's. And that was on Western Avenue. I think they did recordings of, playlets of some type with various stars and starlets and so forth.
Mm-hmm. What was her husband's name?
Paul Quan, Q-U-A-N.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Okay. She's not living in this area anymore.
She lives in Hollywood.
Uh-huh.
Not too far away, on Barrendo.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you mentioned also that you had an older brother who was in the television business.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by television business?
Well, what he did was service television. He, at one time, he sold them, but he found them to be, it would involve investing too much capital, so he went around, he'd service televisions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Did he have his own business, or?
He had his own business, then he went into a partnership, and I think now he's gone back on his own.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Okay. When you first came to L.A., did you associate mostly with Chinese or non-Chinese?
I would say mostly with Chinese.
Mostly with mm-hmm. Chinese. So mm-hmm. it's been with Chinese.
I would say so. I had worked for others. You know, I had worked outside of the Chinese community, but the first time that I worked in Chinatown was with Mr. Hong. Of course, that had been quite a few years. But I did work, originally when I came, I worked for the government, mm-hmm. for the Department of Agriculture. And I wasn't too happy with that because I couldn't see any chance for advancement.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I worked for an engineering firm then.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I worked about 2 or 3 years for them there. From then on, I went to Western Auto Supply as a secretary.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that was, I believe, I left out the part where I worked for Ona Munson, which was when I was living with my sister when I first came. That was the original.
What place was that?
For the movie actress Ona Munson. She was the madam in Gone with the Wind, Belle Watling.
Uh-huh.
I worked for her for about 2 years, too.
Uh-huh.
So.
Uh-huh. Okay. What kinds of cases did Mr. Hong handle?
Mostly immigration cases.
Immigration.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. He did some wills, but not very many, but mostly immigration.
So his clientele was mostly Chinese?
Practically all Chinese, to my mind, when I worked for him, I would say.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. What kind of background or what kind of people would come to him on the whole?
Now you're talking about, it was mostly, we would say that it was husbands wanting to bring their wives over or their sons and daughters over.
Mm-hmm.
And is your inquiry as to whether they are elderly or what is your...
Well, just, whether they're elderly mm-hmm. or whether they're from China, Hong Kong.
During this period, I would say most of them were from Hong Kong or maybe interior China originally.
Mm-hmm.
And what they tried to do originally first was to get their family out from interior China to get to Hong Kong, then from Hong Kong to bring them over to the United States.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What about economic background of these movies?
Well, I think they were not, certainly people not, well, they might have had accumulated wealth, but certainly they were people like waiters and maybe laundrymen, and mostly that type of people, I would say, at this particular period.
Mm-hmm.
There weren't too many that you know, were of great wealth, but they might have mm-hmm. been very thrifty people and accumulated some wealth. They certainly had to have some sort of wealth to be able to substantiate their bringing their family over.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, that's required by the Immigration Service.
Right. Well, there weren't many other Chinese lawyers who were around at that time.
As a matter of fact, he was the first Chinese attorney to practice law in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So then subsequently, I think many young lawyers would come to him and ask if it were a worthwhile thing to go into, but I think by this time the period of so many immigrants coming over had passed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we have that type of thing anymore. Most of our younger attorneys aren't doing that type of thing. They're doing litigation and a lot of the other things.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, Mr. Hong's oldest son is an attorney.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Were his fees in line with fees that other attorneys would charge for immigration cases, I guess? Or did
I don't know how much in line they would be, but I would know this, that many people trusted him. And I have been here at times when he was very kind to people who said, well, they don't have much money, then I would, you know, consider it less. Excuse me, just
mm-hmm. So you were saying I was asking about Mr. Hong's fees,
mm-hmm.
legal fees, and you were mm-hmm. saying that at times he would consider
the person's status, and if some of them would play the old situation that I'm poor, I don't have the money, and oftentimes he'd be kind, and I would feel that he was really being gypped, and I would tell him so, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I would say, well, gee, I remember one time that a person, I don't remember the fee that he charged, but the case didn't turn out right, whatever, because the man himself did not tell the truth. So this man was not well. He came up and, oh, he was terrible. He shouted at Mr. Hong so terribly. And so Mr. Hong said, he just gave him the whole feedback. He had done all the work. He just gave him the money back. I said, oh, Mr. Hong, I said, why did you do that? I said, he was so mean. He was so horrible. I said, I wouldn't have done anything. Well, he said, I don't want anything like this on my conscience. Let him go, and mm-hmm. I don't want him to be ill because of me. He said, he doesn't look like he's very well anyway. So, I mean, this, he belongs to the old school who mm-hmm. care just a little bit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you wouldn't find any other attorney would return the fee after he'd done all the work,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Particularly due to the fact it was a man's own fault because he had given false information.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
Mm-hmm.
About how many clients did he have?
Oh, he was, well, during the period I worked for him, I would say that he was quite busy during my first few years, and then it sort of petered out because, well, he just didn't really care to do that much.
Mm-hmm.
He was getting along in years, and he always said, well, I do not want to take a fee. My years are limited. What if I don't complete their case? Then they'll feel like I charged them for something that I could not complete.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is why it slowed down, because mm-hmm. he refused many cases, which I think he could have handled very nicely.
Mm-hmm.
So toward the end, I would think that, as I recall, he took the more simpler cases, like doing naturalization and mm-hmm. that type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What was Mrs. Hong's role in the office? Did she work in the office too?
No, not in the years that I worked here.
Uh-huh.
She would come down frequently to, you know, look the place over and mm-hmm. and recommend different mm-hmm. changes, and mm-hmm. that was about the extent of it. She never really mm-hmm. interfered too much in mm-hmm. any way.
So why is the office open now? What's going on there?
Well, only to settle whatever is the estate. And of course, they have rentals. So what I do usually is take care of the rentals and deposit for them
mm-hmm.
and take care of the books. That's about it. Or write the checks, take care of payments that have
mm-hmm.
to.
Mm-hmm. They own this building.
They own this building. They also own Hong Kong Restaurant. Mm-hmm. They also own the Great China Restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
They own the Phoenix Bakery and up to the end of the gift shop.
Mm-hmm.
So they does have a considerable amount of property.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But he has a son who has an office downstairs?
No, his son is with a partnership.
Mm-hmm.
It's American. Originally his son was with the district attorney's office.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, when the district attorney went out, then he went out with the group. He could have stayed on, but he didn't feel
mm-hmm.
happy about it. So then he other firms approached him for his services. He's a trial attorney, so
mm-hmm.
apparently he'd done very well, and
mm-hmm.
his services were desirable. So
mm-hmm.
he's working with the firm right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I want to ask you, the
mm-hmm.
next set of questions are all relating to the Su Chau restaurant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I have heard from other people
mm-hmm.
that the Su Chau restaurant was a very famous restaurant here in Chinatown.
Well, I would say in its early years, they had one in what was called, what street was it on? Los Angeles Street. They had that for many, many years. And then they've always had the Su Chau over here, only that during the war years, that is, they couldn't get supplies, so they closed it up, and it was used for the canteen for the soldiers it was a canteen,
mm-hmm.
and any soldier was welcome to go in there where they
mm-hmm.
could help themselves, refreshments and whatever else. I don't really know, because I wasn't here during that period. And
when you say over here, you mean on
the one over here on Zhengjing Road,
uh-huh.
454 Zhengjing Road, I think it's now known as the Peking restaurant or something. I don't remember what it is now.
Uh-huh.
But it was very well known. We had a lot of parties there. The council gave many, many parties there. As a matter of fact, when Council Kang was there, it was all every double ten, it was parties.
Mm-hmm.
We had Dr. Chen of USC. He taught Asian studies. He had a class there about once a month, and we did have a very nice group of people there.
He had a class who would come in to eat there once
mm-hmm.
a month?
I guess to introduce them to the Chinese ways, something
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever meet him?
No, never. Was the Su Chau restaurant open all day or just certain hours of the day?
We opened from 11 till 12 for a while, and then it was 11 till 10. And I think that was the last hour, so we stayed with 11 to 10.
7 days a week?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately.
When were the busiest times of busiest times of the week?
I would say that when you say the busiest day of the year was always Mother's Day or one other day. These 2 days were the busy days. Anyway, those were the busy days. And
Mother's Day and...
What was the other day? I can't remember, but I know that these were the Double Ten festivities.
Uh-huh.
And every restaurant would be swamped then, of course.
Uh-huh. How about on Chinese New Year?
Chinese New Year's? I don't recall. We were that busy on Chinese New Year's.
Uh-huh. Weekends were always busier.
Yeah, weekends were fairly busy.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, as time went on, there were more and more restaurants, and so we always had our own group of people. That was the way it was. They would work. We were kind of out of the way there. And if you just came to Chinatown, you wouldn't come to the Su Chau unless someone recommended it.
Mm.
And that was our type of people, were mostly recommendations or people that had been with us for years and years and years.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You worked at the restaurant, and also your husband Elmer worked at the restaurant.
Yes, uh-huh. He helped.
We
did everything. We're family, If
uh-huh.
if dishwashing needed to be done, we did it. If we had to wait on tables, we did it. I was supposed to be the hostess, but when it got busy, I helped out. And Elmer did the same thing. In a family restaurant, as you know, everyone pitches in.
What other family members worked in the restaurant?
Oh, let me see. There was his oldest brother, Edward, who did supervised the cooking in the kitchen. And then Marjorie would also, that's a sister, she would also help. In the same fashion that I did host,
mm-hmm.
we sometimes took turns. Sometimes we both were there. And if it got real busy, we all pitched in and helped. And Gilbert, who was the second brother in line, he helped too.
Mm-hmm. And all the family members got paid for their work.
No, no, no. No. We got our meals. We got our living. No, it wasn't, you know, a family restaurant, as you well know, if you're paid, is not very much anyway.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So you just had your meals there.
And yes, and I would say that, well, at this time we all lived at the family home, so that was all sort of one pot, we might say. And then subsequently all of the family members moved away. We're the only ones living at the family home now. So,
mm-hmm. So who was in charge of the money and the books? And
well, originally it was the mother, then it came to the oldest brother, Edward.
Mm-hmm.
And we were their underlings, so it didn't matter.
Uh-huh. Okay. How long did you and Elmer work in the restaurant?
Well, I think, let me think. I don't remember exactly when we closed the place, but in all of my married years, I was there, so I would say it was close to at least 25 years, at least, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've been married over 30-something years, I believe. So I don't really remember. It's been too long.
Right. Uh-huh. But in all those years, you didn't have you didn't get any salary for working there?
Or? No, we didn't. We just felt that it was duty. We were never told we had to work there, but how could you sit back and not do anything?
Mm-hmm.
I had another job anyway. I was working for Mr. Hall, mm-hmm. so, or even when I worked for the engineering firm, when I got off, it was back to the restaurant to help out.
I was going to say, did you need any source of income in order to, you know?
Yeah, well, I was working, so it didn't matter. But I always felt, since I lived at the house, I was duty bound to go back and pitch in whenever I could.
Uh-huh.
Typical Chinese style, you know.
Right. Okay. How many customers could your restaurant accommodate at one time?
Let me think. I would say close to 100.
100.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Did you have a lot of regular customers?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
But they were all people that we had known, the family has known for many, many years, and so the only place they would come was to us because they knew the family. And Gilbert was he was an artist, and he's an architect, and he had a lot of friends. And they would always come and ask for him, and he wasn't there. Then we would say, well, we are family members, and make them feel at home.
Mm-hmm. So what other kinds of people would these regular customers tend to be? Would they tend to be...
Well, there were a lot of... There were business people. There were some that we just... Some new customers, new faces, once they came, they felt that they had been treated nicely, so they would come back again.
Mm-hmm.
But it was all sorts of people.
Did you serve mostly Chinese people?
Yes. Well, no. I would say that it was half and half. Sometimes we have, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Okay. And you said it was some Chinese food or Western food?
Well, both. We have these planned dinners, like most all the restaurants have, suited to the Western taste. And then if you wanted something like ham yu yolk and that type of thing, you could always get that too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Was there a bar? And
no, we did not have a bar. We did serve beer, but no bar. We did not have a bar.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the workers, how many workers were there all together at the restaurant?
Well, let me see. When you're talking about latter years, I think we had about 2 employees who could handle the work, because we are, as family members, we would pitch in. And then perhaps at one time during their earlier years, as I recall, they had 4 or 5 waiters at that time, and then some weekend employees.
Mm-hmm. What was the salary for the people who were employed?
That I don't know. I think they were quite low, as I recall.
Mm-hmm.
Probably maybe 100, 150 at the most is my guess.
A month. Uh-huh.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And this I'm talking about more recent years, because I don't know what they had been paid before, because I wasn't always aware or interested.
You mean 100 a month more?
Yes.
More recent years?
This is just my guess.
Right.
I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And more recent years would possibly be a good 10 to 15 years back, which is...
Uh-huh.
Yeah, sometime back.
Okay. And how many hours did their workers put in a day?
Let me see.
Well, I would say probably 10 hours, that's my guess. Mm-hmm. Possibly more sometimes if we had big parties, but then they would be reimbursed for that.
Mm-hmm. And they work 7 days a week?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Well, there, when we, I just need to, me, they might have alternated. I'm not positive on that, though.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not positive.
Okay. Did you, were the workers all Chinese?
Yes.
You didn't have any other Mexican?
Well, the only one, we did have one Mexican dishwasher.
Uh-huh.
That's why we ended up always doing the dishes.
Okay.
He wasn't a bad man. He just disappeared every once in a while.
Uh-huh. How did you recruit workers?
Mostly, well, the workers we had would stay with us. And it was not because we were so great. I guess they couldn't find anything else to do. I don't know. I would imagine the first time was when they approached us for work. And then it just stayed on.
But did you, did the restaurant put ads in newspapers?
No.
Or
probably by word of my mouth, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Who was the cook?
His name was Bak Ching, if that means anything.
It was what?
Bak Ching.
Uh-huh. How long was he the cook there?
Oh, many, many years. He ever since I could remember, he was there. He stayed with the family. He was like family.
Uh-huh. Were good cooks hard to find?
Oh, yes, because they're temperamental. That's why it was fortunate that all the family members can cook if necessary.
Uh-huh. Huh.
Yeah, they can all cook if necessary, because I don't know whether you know cooks or not, but they do love to gamble, and if they're on a gambling spree, forget it. They're not going to be back that day.
Uh-huh.
Okay. They don't even call you.
Oh.
You just know it's 5 o'clock and he's not here, then we'd better get...
And this was not only true with your own cook, but it seemed to be true of other cooks, too?
Yes, well, see, often on Miss Bak Ching would take a vacation, then we'd have to get a fill-in, and some were reliable, and some were terribly unreliable.
Mm-hmm.
And temperamental.
I see. Okay. Did employees receive any kind of benefits? Health insurance?
No, not at this period. I don't think there was a place that did give any benefits at that time.
Right. How about during Chinese New Year? You know, in Hong Kong, they have a custom where you get double lycee or double...
I don't know that.
Yeah.
I don't recall that it was done. It may have been done, but I don't know.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Were there ever any problems between the family members and the workers at all? Or if so, what kinds of problems would they be?
If you're talking about the workers and the family, okay, I would say, if anything, there was probably problems in the kitchen. now, when I would see something that was not right, I would tell the waiter, oh, I tried to be very diplomatic. I said, would you please take that away? And I was told, So I never tried to say too much. If I couldn't help it, I would do it myself rather than offend them.
Okay. Okay. So this restaurant was owned, the ownership was...
The family.
The family.
Yeah, all family, yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. Did the family own or lease the property?
Leased. It was leased.
Uh-huh. From whom was it leased?
It was a Wong family that lived upstairs. See, there was an upstairs.
Uh-huh.
Very nice Wong family at that. They were very nice people.
What do you think is important to the success of a restaurant business or of a Chinese
today
restaurant?
I think service is very important. And, of course, combined with good service, certainly has to be good food, because with all the good service, you're not going to come back if the meal is lousy. But... good service will certainly bring people in the door.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Was your restaurant ever threatened by gangs at
no,
all?
No, we never had those problems.
Do you ever have any robberies or any problems?
We did at one of our restaurants over on Main and Sunset. We did have we were robbed one time. Yeah.
Oh, you also had one on Main and Sunset?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. That was because I think our Los Angeles street closed, and there was an opportunity to reopen another area, which that's what they did.
So how many were there altogether?
Well, a total of three, but then actually in operation, when one closed down, it would have to be two. It would be the number of two.
Uh-huh. And it was also called Suta Restaurant?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Okay. Why did it close?
Well, all of us did not want to work anymore. We just decided that we just didn't want to spend any more of our life in a restaurant. So that eventually they just sold it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But did the family originally expect you to carry it on, to continue? Did Elmer's mother and father originally expect the children to carry on?
I don't believe so, because Elmer's mother was very, very interested in education for her children. Now, if you wanted a good education for your children, I wouldn't think you'd want them to end up in a restaurant. It's a sideline, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, my husband didn't finish his schooling. Marjorie did. And so did Gilbert, so that I would assume that they felt this was a means of financial support for their children until they could finish their school. And of course, in a way, they might have expected us to help there too, to mm-hmm. contribute our share to make up for what they had already. I'm just guessing
mm-hmm.
on this,
because
I don't think I've ever been told, but.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly, if they kept the restaurant on, there was no way we could avoid not going down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Did your restaurant ever have any problems with local authorities, building inspectors, health inspectors, immigration? Or?
Well, I think occasionally we'd have some immigration officers stop in and ask if we recognize certain faces and things like that, but there was no one that we ever knew that, to my knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Was there any restaurant association or union?
Not at that period. There may be today. I don't know. I notice a lot of times I'm notarized sometimes in a United California Restaurant, Chinese Restaurant Association thing, but I certainly during this period there was not.
Uh-huh. Okay. Did your restaurant have any kind of contact with other restaurants in the area?
And now, by contact, what do you mean? Do you mean?
Well, exchanges of any kind in business or.
Well, if you're talking about just a friendly relationship, they had that type of relationship, but I don't think there was any exchange of services or anything
uh-huh.
like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. In your restaurant business, who bought all the food and supplies and so
Elmer's
forth?
Oldest brother, Edward, he took care of all of that.
And from whom did he buy?
I would guess from various markets in the area, and he liked to go down to the Third Street Market and buy his fresh fish, because that's where he came in.
Uh-huh.
They didn't have fish markets like they have today, you know. So you'd have to go down to where they, you know, like they have the Bon Key or whatever it is
right.
here. And I don't recall that they had the
Uh-huh. Okay.